This is Campus Journal, program number 711 for Monday, January 18, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. And recently, a well-known, respected actor was paid, well, some pretty good money to make some commercials for a fast food chain. However, during an interview with the New York Times, he said that he was upset about the arrangement because, well, some of the items he'd been advertising were being allowed to slip in quality because the company wanted to increase their profit. French fries were greasier, the hamburgers were smaller, cholesterol content was rising. And what's interesting is that, he was feeling a sense of loss when the high standards he promoted and sold to the nation were lowered. And he was afraid this was going to reflect on his name. Well, you know, Ezekiel chapter 36 in the Old Testament of the Bible indicates that the Lord is also jealous of his name. Our Lord declared that as the God of Israel, he had been disgraced by his nation's pathetic reputation. The sins of Israel reflected poorly on him. Now, as followers of Christ, when we fail to live up to his standards, we're doing the same thing. We give unbelievers who are watching us an excuse for their low opinion of God. However, let me remind you something, and that is that even though we may fail God, he'll never fail us. Christ is going to uphold the integrity of the Father's name when it comes to our salvation. In spite of our faults, he'll keep his word to us. Now, he'll do this not because we're deserving, but because he's jealous for his own reputation. He is going to complete our salvation. He'll do everything he's promised to do for us, for his name's sake. And so let me ask, shouldn't we, in return, do all we can to protect his good name? Well, that's an important question to consider as we close today's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like to get a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That's 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 712 for Tuesday, January 19, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Do you ever feel like you could agree with Charlie Brown, the little round-headed kid who once said, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. Well, hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and I guess that's the attitude we're reflecting when we find ourselves being critical and judgmental of our friends, or being insistent that we get our own way, or being jealous of someone else's success. Now, we all know that that's not the way to be. The Bible is clear that there's a much better way to treat others. For instance, the right way is to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's Romans 12:10. The right way is to do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility, to consider others better than yourselves. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Now, I'm not going to try to guess how you might treat others, because I know my own limitations. I know that I don't always treat people the way I should. In fact, sometimes I act like a complete dork. But does that description sometimes fit you, too? Well, if so, what in the world are we going to do about it? Well, we undergo therapy. That's what we do. Soul therapy, that is. We need to confess to God those anti-people attitudes that aren't pleasing to Him. And we need to do more than just know what the Scriptures say about relating to others. We need to do what the Scriptures say. Because who knows? We may discover that, that Charlie Brown's attitude is something that we can't stand anymore. Well, that's Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That's 1-800-653-7221. Or when you write to Campus Journal Radio, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49555. Well, I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening today. And remember that we serve Christ best when we love others first. I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 713 for Wednesday, January 20, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Did you have any pets when you were growing up? Well, hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. I'm Brian Hettinger. And we had a few. But the pet I remember the most about was a little dog named Tojo. Whenever I went out to shoot baskets, he went with me. Whenever I laid down on the floor to watch some TV, he snuggled up next to me. Little Tojo was a good friend. Now, there were times, of course, when I wondered why we ever had this dog, like when I was cleaning up in the garage after him. I wasn't feeling all those warm things about man's best friend. Now, we don't have a dog right now. But today I'd like to talk to you about those times when you get tired of filling your pet's water dish and taking it for walks. Or even those times when you feel like giving it a good swift kick. There's a wise saying from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, that says, "A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal." And I'll admit that that verse seems pretty incredible to me sometimes. It's easier for me to accept what James said about a godly person, that that he or she looks after widows and orphans, or what Jesus said, that if we love God, we'll love our neighbor. But is it really true that being kind to an animal goes along with being righteous? Well, as I think about it more and more, it makes more and more sense. After all, how we treat an animal, well, it reveals a lot about the kind of person we really are. A truly kind person isn't just kind to people. Kindness flows through every part of that individual's character, even to a dumb dog who doesn't know better than to scratch the furniture. So, how righteous are you? Well, if animals could talk, maybe your pet could tell you. And that's Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today. If you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal program number 714 for Thursday, January 21, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and you've seen the sign so often you hardly notice it anymore. It says, "No soliciting." But you're probably glad it's there if there's one on the door of your dorm or apartment building. It keeps you from being bothered by people who are selling things, asking for your vote, seeking contributions. Now, that's not to say that all door-to-door selling is bad, and you may even do a bit of it yourself. It's just because of security and other good reasons that, well, some places don't allow. But, you know, when it comes to soliciting, there's one person you've got to watch out for, and he's no friendly book salesman trying to work his way through college. No, he's Satan, and he's peddling temptations. He's knocking at the door of our minds, our emotions, pleading for us to buy into his thinking and do things his way. He's trying to undermine us, wear us down, ultimately destroy us. Consider David and his sin with Bathsheba, recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 11 in the Bible's Old Testament. Now, Satan got to David with a temptation that he failed to resist, and one that's as modern as today. And once David had been trapped by the sin of adultery, well, Satan kept him until after he committed murder. So what can we do to resist Satan? Well, we can put out our no soliciting sign. First, as 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18 suggests, we can keep ourselves away from those things that are going to tempt us to do evil. And second, as soon as we're aware that Satan has targeted a specific area of our lives for attack, we take our stand against him. With God's help to strengthen us, the Bible to guide us, it's possible we can slam the door in Satan's face. And that's Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today. And if you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. Number again, 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinger, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal program number 715 for Friday, January 22, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal, and I don't know how it is at your school, but when I was in college, all it took was one date, and you were practically married. If you were seen together, you were going together. No, it wasn't then, and it's not easy now to figure this dating thing out, is it? You want to be wanted, but not owned. You want to be close, but not too close. You want to be respected, but you don't want to seem like an old librarian or anything. Well, Proverbs 22 has some pretty good words that can apply to dating, like Proverbs 22:3, which says, "A prudent person sees danger and takes refuge." The prudent knows how to stay away from danger. The less prudent go right through the stop signs, and they suffer for it. So here are some thoughts that may help you to keep dating what it should be. Good times with good friends that lead to no regrets. Okay, first, remember that your date doesn't own you or have any control over you, no matter how much money is spent on the evening. It's certainly never a right to strike or abuse you, no matter how long you've dated. Also, demanding sexual favors doesn't mean love. It means lust, even if you're talking about getting married later. And keep in mind that if there is not kindness and gentleness and courtesy now, well, then don't expect it when the relationship gets more serious. And also, remember that your relationship with your date should enhance, not hinder, your relationship with God. Because dating can be great fun, but it's also a good time to be careful. And that means following God's guidelines and some good common sense. Well, that's Friday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That's 1-800-653-7221. Well, I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening today, and have a good weekend. And I'll see you on Monday. This is Campus Journal, program number 706 for Monday, January 11, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and I'm just checking, but have you been eating right lately? And no, your mother didn't write to us here at Campus Journal and tell us to ask you that. I ask you that just because I wanted to get you thinking about food. Because, you know, food is big business, and not just food for people. According to the U.S. News and World Report, Americans spend $8 billion each year for food for their dogs and cats, and that $1.5 billion of that is spent on those fancy super premium brands of dog and cat food. I've wondered, if dogs that eat those super premiums, if they're any healthier or live any longer than pets that eat the plain old regular food that you give your dog? Well, according to experts, they say no, they're not that much healthier. But have you ever noticed that there are some super premium spiritual foods out there? Sometimes we get intimidated by people who say that you need some fancy study materials or you need a special seminar to be a happier, healthier Christian. But you know, the truth is simply getting a fancier Bible or reading a best-selling study book or going to an expensive seminar, that alone doesn't make you or me a better Christian. What we need is the basic, straightforward message of the Word of God. That's why it's so important that as much as possible you spend time with God's Word. Campus Journal is committed to the idea that what counts for eternity is what you read in the book that's God-breathed and that you act on what you know it says. We believe that a healthy believer is one who has a steady diet of the Word. So let me ask you again, have you been eating the right food lately? Well, that's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd like to get a free copy of our printed CJ booklet that may help you get into God's Word on a regular basis, just request one when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. Well, I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 707 for Tuesday, January 12, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And today I'd like to talk especially to those who, when you look at your life, you say, "Boy, this just isn't the way I wanted things to be." A few years ago, you looked ahead to the future with such enthusiasm. But yet one thing led to another, and now you've got this huge burlap bag full of guilt and regret that's weighing you down. Maybe what happened was sexual. You got mixed up with someone who didn't love you, but used you instead. Or maybe it was something like shoplifting that tripped you up. Perhaps you wasted your years in school and you ended up with virtually nothing but loan payments to show for your educational experience. and you feel like you've fallen and you can't get up. Well, I can't tell you how wrong that kind of thinking is, because you can get up. That's because Jesus has already done what it takes to rescue you. Every single person who was ever born is helpless and hopeless before God, at least without Jesus' gift of rescue. None of us can ever free ourselves of our sin, whether our sins are small or whether we think that they qualify us for the Sin Hall of Fame. Our sins, no matter what, drag us down and prepare to drown us. Yet Jesus, because he took our sins on himself at Calvary when he died on the cross, Jesus is ready to rescue us. In fact, his hand is already reaching out to us. All we have to do is take it, to ask him to forgive us of our sins and trust him to pull us up and dry us off and make us his followers. So what's got you down? Some sinful practice that you're tired of hiding? Maybe some episode in the past that hangs on you like a 10-pound weight? Well, reach out to the one who can get you back on your feet. Let Jesus Christ rescue you. And that's Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today. And if you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinger. I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 708 for Wednesday, January 13, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And was Jesus just bluffing? I mean, when Jesus told a rich young man that to follow him, he had to sell all his possessions and give that money to the poor, was he serious about that? Did he really want this man to sell everything? And then there's Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35, where followers of Christ share their possessions and their money with fellow believers. Does God expect us to do the same thing? Now, is it sin to have possessions? Well, relax. You're off the hook. Because both of these passages, I think, are there to teach us principles, not to set down practices. In Matthew 19, Jesus recognized that, well, this rich young man's number one priority was money. And unfortunately, that kept him from trusting Christ and experiencing eternal life. And then Acts chapter 4 isn't referring to some massive first century garage sale. No, it was the natural reaction of God's people to respond to the needs of their fellow Christians. And so now that you're off the hook, I'd like to put you back on. You see, the issue isn't whether it's right or wrong to own property. It's that we should respond with compassion and generosity to the needs of others. Now, I know it's tempting to hold on to our possessions so tightly that no one besides you, that includes God, can touch them. But you know, God has given us the responsibility to respond to the needs of our fellow believers, no matter what our materialistic society is trying to tell us. So, no, Jesus wasn't bluffing. He expects us to serve him and use money, not the other way around. And that's Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today. For a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. Well, I'm Brian Hedding, and remember that money ceases to be good when it becomes God. I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 709. For Thursday, January 14, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. And do you feel like you're being squeezed by life right now? Are you in a lot of pressure and stress from school or your job? Do you feel like you just can't meet the expectations of your friends or your parents, maybe yourself? And what can you do about those feelings of being smushed? Well, for one thing, you can thank God for them. Now, I know that sounds like a pretty dumb idea, but really, that's the way we grow. These problems indicate that, God wants you to firm up some of your spiritual muscles to show you and others what you're really made of. I did that in an extreme way with Johnny Erickson Tada. At least that's how she sees it now, anyway. She says that the diving accident that left her a quadriplegic as a teenager also presented her with a tremendous opportunity to know herself and to grow as a Christian. She asks, what do you get when you squeeze an orange? Well, orange juice. You squeeze an orange, what comes out is what's ever inside. So Johnny went on to ask, what happens when you squeeze a Christian? What's revealed is what's inside. If you're a hypocrite, then cowardice and pretense come out. If you're self-centered, you'll whine, complain. If you're following Christ, your true faith and courage will help you to stand strong and to positively influence others. So, are you being squeezed by life right now? What's coming out? Anger? Bitterness? Tears of frustration? Self-pity? Or is your faith in God showing through? You see, with oranges and with you, it's what's inside that counts. Well, that's Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That's toll-free 1-800-653-7221. Well, I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 710 for Friday, January 15, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal, and who am I talking about? You see them everywhere. They're on country roads and city streets, often dressed in colors that would make a clown blush. But boy, they're a faithful bunch. Neither the heat of summer nor the cold of winter can keep them from their appointed exercise. So who am I talking about? Well, sure, I'm talking about joggers and walkers and yet another group that I call meanderers. Now, these meanderers are people who aren't really standing still, but still who don't move fast enough to qualify as walkers. They're meanderers. And it's my guess that if you'd ask them why they're so committed to getting their exercise, well, these folks would say that they do it for a sound heart and a strong body. If you'd ask runners and joggers and walkers and meanderers why they're so faithful and consistent in their physical exercise, I think they'd tell you that they would get soft and ultimately unhealthy if they were any less committed. And, you know, we need to be as faithful to our spiritual training as those Nike or Adidas or Reebok-clad folks are to their exercise. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 that bodily exercise has some value, but train yourself to be godly, which means practice what God says is right. And no matter how much you want to take a day off, don't. Stick with it. Never quit exercising obedience. Don't stop obeying God. Don't get out of shape spiritually. In other words, train yourself to be godly. Well, that's how we wrap up another week of entries in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just request one when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That's toll-free 1-800-653-7221. Or you can write to us at Campus Journal Radio, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49555. Well, I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening today. Have a good weekend. I'll see you on Monday.